Francisco Liriano, go.
Lucky as all get out.
Go. I picked him up in the podcast league.
Ooh. Little difference of opinion.
I knew there would be. I knew there would be yesterday on Fantasy Baseball 360. We were recording shortly after Francisco Liriano did very well against the A's. Six scoreless innings, three hits, two walks, nine strikeouts, and Scott was impressed. But the day before on Fantasy Baseball 360, Al was like, even if he has a good start against the A's, don't buy into it. All right, here's stat of the day number one. The A's are in an eight-game losing streak. They are batting 172 during that eight-game losing streak. So I'll ask you, Scott, how much does that impact your enthusiasm for Francisco Liriano?
Some, for sure. I mean, I'd rather him go out and do that against the Rangers, obviously. but at the same time, my enthusiasm is based on, we know Liriano has great stuff. We know he's been a dominant pitcher in the past. There's no reason to believe he can't be again. And so if he goes out and has a good start next time out, it'll probably be too late to pick him up. Might as well pick him up now while he's available. If it doesn't work out and I can't promise it will, then I'll just cut him. You know, I don't it doesn't have to be an all in or all out scenario to me.
That's absolutely right. There's just guys that I would rather have. And Scott, you're right. I mean, Liriano has been very, very good in the past. So at some point this year, he could show that form again. I don't think he's going to get it throwing 51 strikes out of 88 pitches, which is what he did against the A's, or getting one ground ball out in six innings. So that's why I'm not impressed.
Yeah, there he is, the fantasy wet blanket, yeah. Al Melchior himself. All right, it's Thursday, May 31st, and we start the show. We got buy or sell today, and I asked for some Twitter help yesterday. Who do you want to hear about on buy or sell? And I got to tell you, our listeners, they're really good, good ideas. A lot of Ben Zobrist, so we're going to talk about him and many, many more. Three up, three down, Seattle and Texas with a crazy, crazy game. Carlos Gonzalez hit three home runs. Matt Kemp and Troy Tulowitzki are injured. And your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put podcast in the subject line. Stat of the day number two. Only one player under the age of 23 since 1961 has totaled more home runs and RBIs in 1 month than Giancarlo Stanton just did in May. Stanton, 12 home runs, 30 RBIs. Bob Horner in 1980 had more home run RBI total.
And I was I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
But I was going to say, I almost said Scott's going to remember that, but that was, I think, about 4 or 5 years before you were born. So,
yeah, that was 4 years before I was born.
Same here. Do you remember that?
I do not. I mean, I remember, I think it came up a little earlier before that. So, no, I can't say I really do remember that.
Stat of the day number three, Melky Cabrera had 51 hits in May, the first time we've seen a 50-hit month for any player since Carl Crawford did it in August of 07.
I was looking at the hitter rankings and head-to-head leagues yesterday. Hitters, not just outfielders, hitters. I think Melky Cabrera was number four on that list for season-to-date fantasy points.
He's really, you know, I read about, I think I knew this, but I kind of forgot. He was just in bad shape with the Braves and the Yankees. And when he went to the Royals, Melky Cabrera got in shape, and now he's a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's a great segue because I got some stats here to throw at you all. He's doing, now last year, he, of course, surprised us, and I didn't think he could sustain it because he had a really high batting average on ground balls, much higher than what he had before, like when you said when he was not as well conditioned. And then this year, he's hitting .367 on grounders, which is just outrageous because the major league average is right around .220, .225.
Whoa.
But I thought that, you know, this must be unprecedented. Well, since just going back to 2008, not that far, there have been five other players who have done this over an entire season. Rajay Davis, Carlos Gomez, Ichiro, Drew Stubbs, and Hanley Ramirez in that batting title year.
Mm.
Could be done. And if you have speed, which Cabrera does, it can be done.
That's great. That's a great stat. Stat of the day number 3.5. Good job.
I think it's stat of the day number one, and it bumps all your stats down to zero.
That's fine.
Wow.
That's fine. It's really good. I got no problem.
I'm making
with
up
that.
For my B-minus show yesterday.
Yeah. We had Seattle 21, Texas 8. And instead of putting these guys in three up and three down in the rotation, let's just treat them as their own segment here.
Can we just have like a stupid, like, you know, place kicker, you know,
Well, I don't know why the Rangers went for two. I mean, yeah, the game was out of reach at that point. The Mariners, I was like, what? How could this be right? Every starter had at least one hit. Justin Smoke hit 2 3-run homers. Kyle Seager, 4 hits. Dustin Ackley, looks like he might be warming up a little bit. Scott, from Seattle's perspective, what stood out to you?
I guess the main thing that stood out was the 2 home runs by Smoke, because that gives him now 6 to go along with a .319 batting average in his last 18 games. And I hadn't really been caring about it that much, because the strikeout to walk ratio has been off during that stretch. But it's getting long enough, and you know, 6 home runs over 18 games, I think, is impressive enough that Smoke deserves to be on the radar again in mixed leagues. I was a little, you know, I put together the hit parade every week, mm-hmm. and usually I pick out the good starts and the bad starts by on Wednesday, looking ahead to next week's matchups. The Mariners have tough matchups next week, and I had picked out Ackley, Ichiro, and Jesus Montero, who also had a big game. I picked them out as sits. I don't know. I might need to go rethink that again. I know they do have tough matchups next week, though, so maybe we shouldn't go crazy and assume they're all back on track in a game where they all had a ton of hits.
Smoke or Moreland?
I would go. Moreland's been pretty hot lately too. I think I would go with Smoke, because I still think Moreland's going to have playing time issues.
Smoke or Goldschmidt?
I'll go Smoke there.
Me too, for the same reason.
Unless Paul Goldschmidt's facing Tim Lincecum.
Yeah. Right.
Because nobody has homered more off of Tim Lincecum than Paul Goldschmidt. He has 4, and he homered last night. Al, Derek Holland, he's owned in 94% of leagues. He has a 5.11 ERA now after giving up 8 runs in an inning and 2/3.
I'm just hating him.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nothing personal, Derek Holland. It's just, you know, for the last, you know, couple years, I've been saying you're too inconsistent. You know, can't be trusted unless you have a really favorable matchup, which, of course, this looked like it was.
Yeah.
And
I use that logic setting my lineup in the podcast league, Al. It's just getting worse and worse.
Well, you know, and I went beyond that in the last pitching top 70 column, saying, yeah, I think Holland's starting to build some consistency here.
Is he droppable? I mean, 94% ownership is pretty high.
I think that's too high anyway. So is he droppable? You know, honestly, I'm not going to let one truly miserable start completely change my perspective on this. I mean, this is just for me piling on, because this is, like I said, a couple of years of frustration with Derek Holland. But, you know, truth be told, before this start, Holland did look like he was an improved pitcher. So I'm going to give him at least another week before I drop him.
Oh, by the way, later on in the show, I'm going to make my case for the most under-owned pitcher in fantasy. I'm going to make my case.
Is that like the most interesting man in the world?
It's not R.A. Dickey anymore.
Nope.
He doesn't pitch often, but when he does, he pitches well. That's his tagline, the most under-owned fantasy pitcher. The big injuries we have to talk about. Matt Kemp, in a lot of pain. He was in a lot of anger in the dugout, and he re-injured his hamstring. Could be out a while. I mean, it looks like pretty foregone conclusion. He'll be on the DL. Outfield replacements owned in 52% of leagues or less, so available in most leagues. Denard Span, Michael Brantley, Jordan Schaefer, David DeJesus. Pick one or two. Who do you like?
I'll go towards the top of the ownership. Well, I'm going to bypass Jordan Schaefer, who's at 50%, but I'll go with Denard Span and Michael Brantley as my top choices. And Scott, I think it was you. Was it you earlier this week who said you weren't that interested in Brantley?
No, I'm not.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, I hear that. But, again, he's the sort of player that he can contribute enough in a lot of different categories that, you know, out of a less than inspired list of options, I would probably go with him. And then Span, obviously, can help you with steals and batting average.
Can I add another name to this list? Owned him more than 52%. Lucas Duda, I think he's down under 80%
yeah,
now.
He's like 76.
Yeah, 2 home runs yesterday. I know they're facing 5 or 6 righties in a 7-game week next week. And 3 of those games at Yankee Stadium with the short porch and right. Might be finally due to time.
Maybe.
It might be. I've said it 3 or 4 times before.
He's in buy or sell, so get ready for it. And Troy Tulowitzki could end up on the DL with a groin injury. Chris Nelson likely the replacement for the Rockies. For fantasy owners, here are some shortstop options that are owned in 50% of leagues or less. Marco Scudero. Let's break it off into shallower leagues and then deeper leagues. Scudero, Sean Rodriguez, Freddie Galvis, pick one.
Scudero.
Yep, Scudero.
And then in deeper leagues,
I'm ready for this one.
Tyler Green, Jamie Carroll, Everett Cabrera. Should I have just stopped on Tyler Green?
Yes, you should have.
Everett Cabrera, 5 hits in his last 3 games and 4 steals and 49 at bats.
And I do like Cabrera. Picked him up in an NL only, and glad I've got him active this week.
I like Green while he's playing, but I don't want to just breeze by Jamie Carroll, because with his high walk rate, you look at his week by week breakdown in head to head leagues, and it's double digits pretty much every week, and that's useful even if it's not great. Not so high on him in roto leagues, but he deserves to be more than 7% owned, I think.
Let's break out the panic meter before we get to buy or sell. The panic meter today has 4 starting pitchers who are supposed to be either aces or very close to it, and they haven't been so far, but they all, well, except for Lester wasn't great last night, but 3 of the 4 pitched pretty well last night. Josh Johnson, John Lester, Ian Kennedy, Tim Lincecum. And let's start out with Josh Johnson. Panic meter 1 through 10, Al.
3.
All right, but he really hasn't been that good. You know, I think, did you watch any of last night's game?
Yeah, I did.
So it seemed like his changeup wasn't very good. His fastball seems solid, but Tommy Hutton said his changeup wasn't really working for him, the Marlins broadcaster. 3-3, 4.83 ERA. So you're a 3.
I'm a 3 because there does seem to be a pattern there with he starts out a little slow in a lot of his starts, and then he sort of picks up steam, and I think, you know, that pattern was there again last night. So, but the overall results, aside from a couple of bad starts, really have – it's not Josh Johnson as you would expect, but I think he's okay.
Yeah, and he seems to be making consistent improvement too, little by little. So I it'd be pretty low for me too, about a 3.
John Lester, 1 through 10, Scott. 15 earned runs in his last 3 starts and only 48 strikeouts and 67 and two-thirds.
Yeah, probably a 3 or 4. Still pretty low. Still not that concerned. Usually a slow starter. And when you look at his pitch-by-pitch breakdown on fan graphs, the velocities, fastball, every pitch really, the same as always. There's nothing that stands out to me as being wrong for Lester other than the results, and that usually means that the results are going to correct themselves. So maybe 3 or 4 is actually a little worse than I should be saying. Maybe more like a 2.5.
Yeah, I'd say about a 3.5 for me, a little bit more than Johnson, but I'm not really concerned. And what I'm encouraged by, even though Lester gave up 4 runs to the Tigers, was 7 strikeouts, no walks. Mm-hmm. Control's been a little spy this year, but, okay, time to pimp a column. I wrote about Lester in a column that should be live sometime today, and he's had some matchup issues, I think, that have brought his numbers down that should get better as the season goes on.
Al the pimp, there it is. Ian Kennedy and Tim Lincecum, they faced each other last night, and both were pretty good, and I did stay up and I watched a few innings of this game. Lincecum's still throwing like 91 miles per hour, so I don't know what to make of it. But anyway, Ian Kennedy, he did strike out 7 Giants. He is 4-5, 4.26 ERA. 1 through 10.
2.
2. He tweaked his delivery in this game to get more on top of the ball, he said. So that might explain why things went wrong the previous 4 starts when he had a 7.04 ERA. I think the Kennedy we saw yesterday is the one we can expect to see going forward.
He does pretty well against the Giants historically, but he looked good last night. Tim Lincecum?
9.
You're worried that worried?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked about it on the show yesterday. I'd pretty much take what I could get for him. You gave some examples I didn't like, so I guess that's not completely true. But I would be shopping him hard if I owned him. And yeah, you could say this start was encouraging, but still 5 walks. And like you said, he wasn't throwing hard. So this start he had against Arizona, I feel like, is the best case scenario for Lincecum. He'll still be useful at times, but not ace worthy.
This could be the time, if you can convince people that he's back.
Yeah,
sell him.
That's a very good point.
Al, where are you?
Yeah, I completely agree with all that. Maybe put him at an 8, but I feel like that's splitting hairs.
Would you trade him for Lance Lynn?
Yes, I would.
Would you trade him for Derek Holland?
probably not, because Holland would not be a guy I would start every week.
I agree with both of those.
Okay. All right, let's play buy or sell. Buy or sell, Cliff Lee will end the season with no wins. He's 0-2. Cannot buy one. Who gets a win first, Cliff Lee or Ryan Dempster?
Cliff Lee.
I'll be wacky and say Ryan Dempster.
No,
I don't know why my gut just says so. But I think both will get wins this year, yeah.
by the way, buy or sell works like this for us. I make a statement, and they disagree or agree with the statement. And most of these guys inspired by your Twitter responses. So here we go. Ben Zobrist, even though we talked about him as a baby victim earlier in the week, I guess it didn't resonate with all the listeners. Ben Zobrist will bounce back and be a top five second baseman the rest of the way.
I feel like top five is maybe a little optimistic, but I'll go ahead and buy that. I mean, I definitely think Zobrist will have a very strong rebound.
Yeah, I buy it too. I think there's a clear top five, and he's one of the ones in it. Kipnis is kind of working his way in there, but I'd still rather have Zobrist. I think he removed all doubt with his performance last year.
He's still been pretty good in points leagues.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
As good as Roto.
A lot of his OBP is like 380 or something, even with the low batting average.
Andy Dierks is a top 30 outfielder. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that one. I like Dierks, but he's not a solid number three outfielder.
Sell.
Matt Latos is a number two starter in your fantasy rotation. Right now he's 67th in points, 106th in Roto amongst all pitchers, starters and relievers, and 67th in points among just starters, excuse me. So again, the statement is Matt Latos is a number two fantasy starter.
So, like, he's top 24
yeah.
from this point forward.
Sure.
I do buy that. I think we saw him start slowly last year, too, and I think there's been enough encouraging signs lately that I think he'll get back on track again.
Yeah, I'm buying it, too. Strikeout rate's creeping back up.
Lance Lynn is a number two starting pitcher the rest of the way.
Well, this one's tricky, too, because I don't expect to see him much in August and September.
Really?
But
because of innings or because of Carpenter?
Pick one, yeah.
See, I think we might. The way Westbrook and Los have gone recently, they're both falling apart, and that's what...
But I still think if there's a spot for him, then there's still going to be a concern for innings. So, but I haven't answered the question yet. I'll still sell it because even if, let's say, he's in the rotation all year, I still think Lynn is a number three.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think there will be some bumps. We've already seen a few recently.
Okay. By the way, so I said most under-owned fantasy pitcher. I'd make the case. I'm going to say that Kyle Loesch is the most over-owned.
That's a good...
Because he's in the 90s. Yeah. That's insane.
Adam Dunn...
I'm sorry, Scott. Adam Dunn will be better than Mark Teixeira this year. Buy or sell?
Sell.
I'm selling it, too.
Still going to be pretty good, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Teixeira's batting average rebound.
Right. Okay. And... we've already seen it would be easier to make that argument 2 weeks ago.
Jesus Montero will have a better year than Miguel Montero.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. I will sell that.
Damn you for picking Jesus Montero up in the podcast league.
No, it was Miguel I picked up.
I'm sorry, so Miguel Montero.
It's easy to confuse them.
Yes. No. I tried to pick him up and you waiver claimed him.
I did, and that's because I still have confidence that come the end of the year his numbers will look about like they did last year. Jesus Montero, I mean, they'll be close, but his I think he has an on-base percentage under 300 right now, and even with 20 plus homers, it's gonna put him a little behind, I think.
Okay, another one. Buy or sell? Mike Aviles will have a better year than Derek Jeter.
I sell that. I think he's already coming down.
Yeah, I agree.
Then Jimmy Rollins.
I might buy that. Jimmy Rollins at 33, I think last season was kind of interrupted the downward trend, and he's back on it now.
I'll buy it, too.
Mike Aviles will have a better year than his Jubal Cabrera.
Selling, big time.
Sell.
Buy or sell, Felix Hernandez is a top 12 pitcher. He's a number one.
Buy.
I buy.
Buy or sell, actually this one, just a good hashtag from Twitter. Gio Gonzalez and Michael Bourne, hashtag, they can't be this good, right?
Selling, they can be this good.
Yeah, they can. They're good as hell, man. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I at least say that for Bourne. I think Gio Gonzalez with his walk rate might have some problems in the second half like he did last year, but probably not quite to that extent. I think he's good.
Drew Smyly, a 1.23 ERA in April, a 4.96 ERA in May. Drew Smyly was a one-month wonder. Buy or sell?
Selling it. Yeah, April was an overperformance. I think May is a little bit in the other direction. I think he'll even it out.
I'll kind of buy it to a degree as far as fantasy value goes, but I still think there's some I don't think he's just going to fall off the map and we'll never hear from Drew Smyly again.
Will Middlebrooks will hit 20 home runs this season.
I will buy that.
I will sell it by maybe a home run or two.
Okay. Buy or sell, the two best teams in baseball are in the AL West.
Sell. I'm still not that sold on the Angels.
They look good. They are rolling with Mike Trout.
Yeah, I think I'm trying. Tigers, I want to say they're one of the best, too. I don't really think I can put any of the AL East teams in that discussion, even though a lot of them are in the top 10. I think I'll buy that statement.
Yeah, I kind of think I'm buying it, too. The White Sox are interesting, though. They are interesting, but they're not quite on that level. Mark Reynolds is back. Mark Reynolds should be owned in most mixed leagues. Buy or sell?
I buy, just because he's going to have a lot of homers in the end.
Okay, Norichika Aoki has mixed league value. He's hitting .319 now.
Deep mixed league. Since you've left it open-ended, I'll buy it.
Okay, Lucas Duda is ready to break out, Scott.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay.
I'm buying it, too.
And I just cut him in the podcast league.
And I just put a claim in for him.
Oh, crap.
And Ty Wigginton will continue to get regular at-bats.
I don't have a good reason for this at all, but I'm selling it.
Well, you know, Ryan Howard's a good reason for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Just seems like he always finds a way to get back in the background.
I'm stuck on the podcast league. Everything that has gone wrong, everything that could go wrong has. It's terrible.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I cry myself to sleep every night.
All right, we got a lot to talk about because we still have four up. No, not going to happen. Four up, three down, rotation. So many injuries and just a few bullpen notes and then hopefully your emails. So let's get going here. Two home runs for Carlos Quentin, six RBIs in three games against the Cubs. And Ryan Dempster said, holy cow, fastball in on the black, he hits a homer. Then fastball three balls outside and he hits a homer. So Ryan Dempster was impressed.
And, you know, Ryan Dempster does this Harry Carey impersonation, so I have to wonder if that was done in the Harry Carey version. Holy cow.
Holy cow. Yeah, it may have been.
Yeah. But, imagine what Quentin could do in Wrigley Field. Well, we saw what he did in a home run park in Chicago. But, you know, the thing about Quentin that I think we forget sometimes is that Petco's really not that bad for right-handed hitters.
Yeah, I'm just very skeptical of Quentin himself. As much as the park, maybe even more so because we've seen him have home run binges the last few years, but he's been a guy you couldn't rely on every week in mixed leagues, since that 2008 season. And I don't see a good reason to think that's going to change. He's fooled me so many times in the past that I'm wary of jumping back in.
Shame on you. He's fooled you so many times.
Shame on me. Yeah, I mean, fool me three times. Yeah. It's been more like four or five. So, yeah, I'm in deep shame.
Colby Rasmus owned in 49% of leagues. He has three home runs in his last five games. He has a seven-game hitting streak, and his average has climbed from .210 to .234. Who's excited?
Intrigued.
Nah. I'm not excited.
All right, who are you excited about on the Rockies? Four up, number three, the Rockies. Carlos Gonzalez homered three times.
Always excited about him.
Yeah, he's awesome. Michael Kadire hit a grand slam. Dexter Fowler homered and doubled. We talked about him earlier this week.
That's exciting.
It is.
The homers keep coming for Fowler.
They do. He's on pace for over 20. His OPS right now, this is going to be the most surprising stat you hear all day, except for that one Al gave. 9.52 right now, today. Oh, Fowler.
Wow.
You think he's not so good? He is. 9.52 OPS.
He's only owned in like half our leagues.
And so, that's Holman Road stats combined. Yeah.
Get him.
He does need to be gotten.
Okay.
I dropped Duda for him, so that makes me feel a little better.
Would you rather have him or Alex Rios, who's also hot?
I would rather have Fowler.
Yeah, I would too.
I think I asked this a few days ago, but let's do it again. Carlos Quentin or Dexter Fowler?
I'm taking Fowler. I was thinking.
I'm thinking, yeah.
He's higher on Quentin than I am.
I am. I'm going to take Quentin.
Oh.
Diane Vicedo, who was supposed to be part of 4UP, but Diane Vicedo is so hot right now. Six multi-hit games in his last seven. 30 total bases, four homers, 13 RBIs. How do you think Vicedo compares to Dexter Fowler?
I think negatively.
Me too.
Fowler's better?
Yeah.
Wow.
Vicedo's fine, he'll hit home runs as he has been lately, but there's going to be a lot of streakiness there. I feel like he's going to be Alfonso Soriano Jr., except more like today's Alfonso Soriano than like 5 years ago.
He is owned in 86% of leagues, Vicieto. By the way, I might be wrong about Fowler's ownership. Doesn't sound right. I think I said about half. I'm not sure about that. Three down. Jose Tabata is awful. 216, two homers, six RBIs, geez, and five steals. He's owned in 38% of leagues. Would you drop him for Will Venable?
I would not.
Neither would I.
Juan Pierre?
No.
I have to think about it, but no.
Craig Gentry?
Nope.
No.
Daniel Nava?
Still no.
Maybe if it was like I had a short-term need, I would do it.
Three down, number two, Jason Hayward, hitting .233, and I don't like to see guys go 0-for-4 when on a night when like the rest of his lineup hit well. He has stolen.
They should all be 21-8 games.
No, I just mean when you get a pitcher who doesn't have it. Yesterday was Loesch, right, against the Braves, mm-hmm. and you're still 0-for-4, and other guys in your lineup are doing well. That kind of sticks out to me.
And when you own that guy, it's really infuriating.
Well, what are you doing with Hayward? He's owned in almost all leagues. He started in 82%. Are you starting him, sitting him?
I'm starting him, and yeah, Scott pointed out some interesting batted ball stats for Hayward that are, you know, moving in a good direction. So I'm still just going to chalk this up as a short-term slump and hope that Hayward gets back on track.
Scott, how do you feel about Howard Kendrick? He has only 1 week of 20 or more fantasy points. Never been a good walk to strikeout guy, but 9 walks, 42 Ks. 20th in points among second basemen, 16th in roto.
He'll get hot at some point. Since there has been so many down stretches so far this year, and because he doesn't walk, like you said, he just hasn't had much to offer. I think if he was on waivers, I would be putting in a claim for him, particularly if I had a need. If I just lost Dustin Pedroia, let's say,
right.
I would be putting in a claim for Kendrick because I think when all's said and done, he will be among the top 12 second basemen again.
Rest of the season, Kipnis or Kendrick?
Kipnis.
Altuve or Kendrick?
Altuve.
Yeah, Altuve.
Rotation time. Are you ready for the most under-owned pitcher in fantasy?
I'm ready.
Sure. I only half-heartedly believe this, but A.J. Burnett. A.J. Burnett, if you take away one start against the Cardinals, 12 runs in that one start, he has a 1.53 ERA. He faced the Reds last night without Votto, but he still faced the Reds. He retired 17 in a row at one point. I'm not saying that he's going to do this all year because I remember on the Yankees he had some pretty horrible second halves, but he's only owned in 47% of leagues, and again, one bad start, the rest of it, a 1.53 ERA. Is he the most under-owned pitcher in fantasy?
I feel like I could find somebody to take that title from him, but he's a contender.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So pick him up, people. Burnett or Oswalt? Sorry, and then you can expand, Scott.
I would, that's tough. I think I would take Oswalt. Because while I do think Burnett's underowned, there is some concern there with the lack of strikeouts, particularly recently. It's like 15 strikeouts in his last 30 innings, something like that, after starting off with a lot of strikeouts at the beginning of the season. I just don't know what to make of that. I'm still wondering if it's just kind of an adjustment period for the NL and that he might hit a rough patch later on. But worth owning. I would rather have Oswalt.
Okay. Burnett or Pettit?
I'll go Pettit there.
Yeah, me too.
Burnett or Loesch?
I'll go Burnett.
Me all too.
Right? Yeah, Burnett.
Burnett.
Okay, Jason Hamill. He's second in the rotation. He's been kind of meh lately. Three of his last four starts have been kind of meh. I actually put that in the notes. Four runs on 9 hits and 6 2/3 yesterday. He's still owned in 90% of leagues. Are you still buying him, Scott?
I think so. Obviously, my enthusiasm has waned, but I'm not tempted to drop him in any leagues yet. Like you said, there has been several mess starts lately, but I feel like yesterday's start was kind of a fluke. He gave up 4 home runs in that game, and he had only given up 3 all season. It's a ground ball pitcher with that sinker. So I kind of just throw that out the window and hoping he gets back on track soon, obviously.
Yeah, it was a start in Toronto, and that's just a tough place to pitch. Kyle Loesch, third in the rotation. We've talked enough about him. He's owned in 90% of leagues. He needs to be owned in less. Ivan Nova and Irvin Santana are fourth and fifth in the rotation. They opposed each other. Nova has been bad. You know, 5.87 ERA in May, and he's allowed 9 home runs. And I know at one point, and it may still be the case, he had the most extra base hits allowed in baseball. Are you dropping him?
Yeah, I am. And the start was really critical to it because, you know, like I've said, I feel like over and over that, I'm still not that sold on the Angels offense. And this is a good venue for Nova pitching in Anaheim. He's pitched in a lot of tough venues, had a lot of tough matchups, so I've cut him some slack. He had an okay start against the A's, a not very good start against the Angels. You know, he needs to show something at some point, and he hasn't.
For Burnett?
Yes.
Cut him loose for Burnett. For Wei-Yin Chen?
I think Wei-Yin Chen for me is a matchups guy. So if the right matchup availed itself, Nova would be the guy that would clear the spot for him.
Irvin Santana, 5 earned runs in 5 innings at home against the Yankees. So it was a bad start, Scott, but 3.69 ERA in May. Are you still encouraged? Or were you ever with Irvin
Santana?
No,
I was encouraged. I think he was pretty much back. In this game, he gave up 7 base runners in 5 innings. So it's not like he was getting knocked around. It was a three-run homer. It was a two-run homer.
Yeah.
So it'll happen sometimes.
Granderson and Cano hit them, and I looked up as I was watching the game. I was all over the place. I had 2 TVs going, watched the whole Heat game, the Marlins, the Yankees. I had a great sports night, and I ate an amazing double cheeseburger at BurgerFi, which, oh, man, it was such a great night for me. Anyway, I was watching the Yankees-Angels game. Santana gives up these home runs. And I'm like, man, does he struggle against lefties, I was wondering? No, actually, he's a lot better against lefties than he is against righties. But Cano and Granderson, they've homered off a lot of guys. Worst start of the year, Dempster and Alex Cobb. Anybody stick out to you in that little category?
It's a small category.
It sure is.
Not really.
and Derek Holland could have headlined that category.
Yeah, he would stick out, I think. But Dempster... ERA is still 290 on the season, so this is just part of the regression to the mean, I think. I still think he's going to be reliable more often than not. Alex Cobb, I just think there's some unreliability associated with him since he is a young pitcher with a less than elite pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, I like Cobb. I'm very hopeful for him this year, but I watched a lot of the start, and he just wasn't that sharp. So, yeah, I agree with Scott. I think as impressive as I think his minor league numbers are, there will be some struggles.
All right, bullpen notes here. Darwin Barney hit a walk-off home run off Dale Thayer, and we had Mitch Williams on Fantasy Baseball 360 yesterday. We asked him about closers. He kind of thought that Thayer could keep the job, but I just got to think that Houston Street is totally going to take that back soon when he's back, right?
Yeah, I think Thayer has bitten off a little more than he can chew with this closer position and the hot start he got off to with it. I don't think he's good enough for it.
Jonathan Broxton loaded the bases with one out, but got Jose Lopez to hit into a double play. Heath Bell pitched for the 5th time in 6 games, and he gave up a leadoff double. Eventually they were on the corners, but he did get the save. But man, Ozzie Guillen riding him right now. Addison Reed and Casey Jansen each got saves. Rafael Soriano put 2 on in the 9th. 3-2 count on Mark Trumbo in a 1-run game, and Trumbo flew out, so Soriano got the save. And do you guys think there's any chance that Alfredo Aceves, who now has 13 saves, still a pretty high ERA, keeps the job when Andrew Bailey returns?
I think the chances are 0%.
You know, every time he starts pitching really well, Aceves, like runs off 4 or 5 in a row, whatever, then he regresses.
Actually, I think if he had the job all year, he'd be decent. He'd bring the ERA down, but they got Bailey to close games out, so they'll let him.
A lot of injuries. We already talked about Kemp and Tulo. Brandon Morrow took one off the shin. X-rays negative day to day, and he did pitch well against Baltimore. Freddie Freeman, he's got the Oakleys.
Yeah,
drove in 3 runs.
I can see clearly now.
Yes, he said, "I can see, and that's all that matters." And it kind of reminds me of Ricky Vaughn getting the glasses in Major League. And Willie Mays Hayes says, "I don't think it's that important about seeing." But anyway, Roy Oswalt thinking 4 starts before he's ready. Roy Halladay will get a second opinion. Still no word on Dustin Pedroia. Jaime Garcia, he's going to have a start skipped. Elbow pain, but no structural damage. 1 through 10, I'm scared meter.
3.
I'll go 5.
Yeah, I don't like to see the elbow.
Yeah, the elbow thing is always a little bit scary, but I look at the fact that the Cardinals did have a day off, and it just it was very easy for them to just bump everybody up a day. So to me, it just looks like, and they do expect Garcia to be back for his next turn, so it looks like it may just be an issue of they were able to afford him some extra rest and took it.
Doug Fister, how about him? 1 through 10 on the I'm scared meter. Back on the DL with that left side strain.
I don't know that scared is the right word.
Fine, let me just go to the panic meter.
I'm sad.
You're sad? Okay.
I'm not panicking. I mean, he'll heal, but I'm sad.
Yeah, well, Casey Crosby's going to take his place, start on Friday. Jamie Moyer released, and Josh Outman will start for him, but he's going to have to be stretched out. He's only going to be good for about 50 pitches. Crosby, Outman, either of those guys interest you?
Crosby more than the Outman, but that's a tough assignment, Yankees in your first major league start, so I don't expect a great result there, but I think if he can be there for a while, Fister's out for a while, Crosby could be worth owning.
Tony Campana has basically become a pinch runner, but he did have two steals yesterday. Soriano, DeJesus, and Mather starting in the outfield.
I don't think it can last. I think they got to get Campana back in there sooner or later. He's hitting like 290, and they need him to generate runs in that lineup with his speed. So,
well, they've done so well recently. So
the thing is, I've always liked Mather as a guy who I thought deserved more than a chance. I don't know that necessarily should come at Campana's expense, but in a way, I'm sort of glad to see it because I think Mather's a sneaky power source.
Alberto Kiaspo, is he the everyday third baseman for the Angels? Torii Hunter is back.
Everyday, close enough to it that I'll say that. I still think he's just an AL-only option.
You know what I'd like to see the Angels do real quick? I think I'd like to see them play Borges in center. Get Hunter out of there, or maybe DH him, whatever. But Borges in center, Trout in left, you have got a ridiculously fast outfield. Kind of reminds me of B.J. Upton, Carl Crawford when the Rays went to the World Series, and I think their defense would be ridiculous with that lineup.
Yeah, it would add a lot to the defense. I think I'd be tempted to put Trumbo at third full time, and then go with that arrangement. Keep Hunter and Morales in there. That hurts the infield defense, though, so maybe they won't do that.
Adam Jones hit on the wrist yesterday. Also, his hitting streak ended. He says the wrist is no big deal. Desmond Jennings could be back next week. Brandon McCarthy will start Saturday against the Royals. Houston Street could be back next week. Travis Hafner out around 4 to 6 weeks. Will Vance Worley pitch next week?
Possibly Monday. We still have to wait and see, though.
Austin Jackson eligible to come off the DL Friday, but unlikely. Michael Morse could be back Friday, and Stephen Drew could begin a rehab assignment next week, so hopefully he's getting closer. Some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is what I love about the emails. We make a reference on Wednesday, and it gets brought up in the Thursday emails. The Keith Hernandez Seinfeld episode is one of my favorites. That's Ben from Monk's Diner in New York, where they have free Wi-Fi.
That's awesome.
I'm worried that Pedroia is going to be out or very unproductive. I do not have another second baseman. These guys are free agents, 6x6 category league. Who do you like? Jamie Carroll, Jose Lopez, Everett Cabrera, Freddy Galvis.
I like Jose Lopez because he's going to get some regular starts, probably DH with Travis Hafner on the DL, and he's got some power.
Scott likes Jamie Carroll, right?
Well, not in a category league like this. I might take a flyer on Everett Cabrera, get some cheap steals, hopefully.
Okay.
Slow end, though.
Jackson in Vietnam. Looks like Tulo may end up on the DL. Here are the available shortstops. Who would you take in a weekly points league? Eric Ibar, Alexi Ramirez, Alcides Escobar, Marco Scudero, Robert Andino, Cliff Pennington. Ibar, Ramirez, Escobar, Scudero, Andino, Pennington.
I think I'm going Ibar here because I just do think eventually he's going to get the batting average back up.
And yeah, has shown some signs of it recently. Yeah. He'd be my first choice, too.
Here's Tony. Dear Fantasy... Oh, I like this. Podnosticator.
Nice.
Is it time to sell high on Mike Trout? 12-team head-to-head category league with three keepers. I've been offered Curtis Granderson for Trout.
Whoa. Yeah, do that. Yeah. I wouldn't consider him a sell high candidate in general, but if you can get Curtis Granderson...
In a keeper league, though?
Three keepers.
Yeah. Is it outlandish to say that Trout might be better than Granderson as soon as next year?
Well, no, it's not outlandish, but I still think if you're only keeping three players, I don't project Mike Trout to be a top three round draft pick next year. So you wouldn't keep him.
Okay.
Yeah, agree.
And again, referenced him yesterday, makes a show today. Dear Fantasy Rambos.
What were you guys talking about?
We did grade the trade. We did two parts, and the first part was First Blood. which is a Rambo reference. And then the second part was this time the revenge, this time it's personal, which was a Jaws reference.
Gotcha.
Hunter from Richmond says, I'm out of control recently, man. I have Alan Craig and Michael Morris coming off the DL soon. Do I drop Duda and JD Martinez to make room, or is Drew Smyly a better option to drop?
I would prefer to drop Smyly to the heating up Duda. So I'd cut Martinez and Smyly.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not going to like this, but I would cut Duda over Smyly. And yes, I would also cut Martinez.
And here's a question from Mark. What's up, fantasy comedians? 10-team mixed league non-keeper. I've been offered two trades. I'm trying to decide which one to take. Someone has offered me Jose Bautista and Yu Darvish for Lincecum and either Justin Upton or Andrew McCutcheon. Which one should I accept? So basically, he's getting Bautista and Darvish. He's giving up Lincecum, and then he has to either give up Justin Upton or Andrew McCutcheon. So really, this whole thing is, who would you rather have, McCutcheon or Upton?
Hey, that's hard, because the beginning of the season, I definitely would have rather have had Upton, but he's really been slow out of the gate. I think I'd rather have McCutcheon at this point.
Boy, yeah, that I'm surprised it's as close as it is. I think I would rather have McCutcheon too. I'm trying to talk myself out of it, but I can't do it.
So give him Upton. And that is an awesome trade, giving up Upton and Lincecum for Bautista and Darvish. Are you kidding me? Good job, Mark. You must listen to the pod. I'm right, right? I mean, that is an awesome
You
trade,
are correct,
right?
Sir.
I don't want to take too much liberties here with my opinions. All right, we're back tomorrow with a starter sit for the following week, and also some of the things we didn't get to today, we'll get to tomorrow, because there are only three games tonight. I feel like I'm on vacation.
You guys are going to be able to talk about Jaws and Rambo all you want.
I hope we can get to a lot of emails tomorrow, too. So send them along, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and anything that you want to say about Jaws and Rambo, greatly appreciated. See you later.